by Hopkins. I wake and feel the fell of dark, not day. What hours, oh, what black hours we have spent this night. What sights you saw, ways you went, and more must, and yet longer lights delay. With witness I speak this. But where I say hours, I mean years, I mean life. And my lament is cries countless. The Psalms provide an honest framework for us in all the stories we might find ourselves in. When I read the Psalms, I remember that I'm not the first one who cried out to God. This isn't God's first rodeo in hearing from his children, and what a comfort. I'm not the first one who felt like I was in the valley of the shadow of death, that the waters were up to my neck, that I was the only faithful one left crying out for justice to be served by the most just one. Likewise, I'm not the first one who felt like I was about to burst under the power of the Spirit, who wanted to tell of God's glorious wonders and shout from the mountaintops of God's deliverance and proclaim the good about our light and darkness. Perhaps one function of the Psalms is to remind us that we aren't and never have been alone. Psalm 23 is one of the most well-known Psalms, a psalm of confidence. It's often read at funerals and is depicted in soft paintings or cliche graphics on the internet. As I've studied this passage, I've learned that Psalm 23 is anything but a Thomas Kincaid painting. Instead, this is a depiction of a strong, capable, safe God fiercely protecting his children and providing for them, not begrudgingly or because he has to, not because they prayed enough or because they did enough, but out of his own abundance. And out of that abundance, I can say, the Lord be with you. Let's pray. Spirit, you are already here. Give us grace and empower us as we come to this familiar text. Amen. Now, something you might not know about Dustin and I is that we really love caving. Now, a lot of people try to correct us and say, oh, you mean spelunking? No. Spelunking is more of a tour with rails and paths and well-lit areas. Caving requires hard hats with headlamps, gloves, clothes you don't mind getting dirty, and over-the-ankle lace-up boots. It's kind of like hiking Starved Rock, but totally inside and in complete darkness. So in 2005, we took a group of teens from a church we were working with in Nashville on a caving expedition. So we got all our gear together, and then single file, we clunked down this metal staircase into the cave. And so in a few moments, we passed from the southeastern humidity into the constant 65 degrees of the cave. Our guide Dana was in the front, and then Doug brought up the back. Now, Dana took us through several different passageways as we were learning these basics of caving. So our first passageway had this huge river off to the side, and this is all underground, mind you. And Dana showed us these creepy albino crayfish that didn't have eyes. And I didn't verify that they didn't have eyes, but I trust her. And Doug taught us about having 3 points of contact at all times and how to stay low to the ground as we climbed over boulders so you don't fall over. In one room, we had to press our hands on the walls and step from rock to rock with a drop of about 10 feet below us. In another open area, we did an experiment and turned off our headlamps and our flashlights. And I had never experienced total darkness and total silence. Now, by this point, we had been caving for about 3 hours. And so we snaked through this long, narrow passageway, and we came to this dead end that had a muddy, murky puddle about 5 feet across. And Dana stepped towards the front and said, "This is our last challenge. We call it the keyhole." And right on the other side of this puddle was a tiny opening about 3 feet across and maybe 12 inches high. This was the keyhole. And Dana explained to us that we were going to pull our bodies through this tiny rock tunnel and into the next room. There was no other way out. And so Dana said, "The best way to do this is to just step into the middle of the puddle." And she took a giant step confidently into the muck in front of us, splashing a little bit of water and mud everywhere. This was not a small puddle. Now, you need to know two things about me. I don't like to be dirty, and I don't like to get wet. And I have been fine in this dirty cave so far. I actually had coveralls on and gloves, but I was going to get wet and gross, and there was nothing I could do about it. So Doug, who had been in the back, was going to go first, and Dana would hold the flashlight for the rest of us. Now, he's a professional, so he steps into the muck, reaches into the keyhole, and kind of pulls himself through the opening, shimmying until we only see his boots, and then he's gone. So the smallest youths begin the trek, each of them kind of reluctantly shifting towards the puddle. And we hear their muffled voice on the other side, "It's not that bad." And their feet also kick and then disappear to the other side. And then it's my turn. I don't know if I can do this. What if I get stuck? What if I have a panic attack in the tunnel? And so I slink into this puddle, and it's deep, and it squishes a little bit, and the water goes over my boots and into my socks. And it's really cold. And I'm trying not to think about those creepy white crayfish from earlier. And so I crouch down, and I reach towards this keyhole, covered in muck, and for a moment, I'm paralyzed and terrified. I don't think I can do this. This is more than I can handle. Are we sure there's not another way? I don't have the skills for this. What am I doing here? I didn't choose this. Did I choose this? Is this my fault? And at this time in my life, I was also stuck in the muck of mental illness and depression, of my mom being terminally ill and months away from her death, and figuring out the kinks in my maybe 3 or 4 week old marriage. And that was just as terrifying. I was in the muck. So what are some places where you might feel stuck in the muck? And I think that often we want to run from those places. We want a quick fix. Maybe go around the problem and deal with it later. Or if only I had this thing, then this would be okay. And we live in a world of quick fixes. We want to avoid those gross parts of our lives. But today, we declare that in a world where we are told to skirt around those deep puddles and dark caves, Jesus steps into the muck with us. Amen. When we don't want to get dirty, Jesus steps into the muck with us. Now, the metaphor of God as shepherd is familiar to us, and it was familiar to the Israelites of the ancient Near East. People knew that a shepherd wasn't just some guy who fell asleep on a sack of hay, but a tireless defender and protector. The shepherd had a role as a leader or even a king, and shepherds were well known for their grit. And I love the story that Stan told earlier about the shepherd who's stopping traffic to make sure that his flock can get across. I think that's so cool. And it's easy for us to embrace this reality of God the shepherd when we're being led by quiet streams and resting in green pastures. When we know what's coming next, we can feel the eyes of our Father's loving kindness and rest in the assurance of our shepherd who never slumbers. And this is where we tend to plant God, because it's easy to think about an ever-loving God tenderly guiding his sheep around abundant pastures and waters. And today we proclaim that this same shepherd who leads us to places of rest and true fulfillment is the same Father who gives us everything we need. And he's the same Father who steps into the muck with us. He does not abandon us. So then, the darkness, the muck, the valley of the shadow of death. So what is this valley, this deepest darkness? There's a lot of interpretations that I would love to discuss with you that we just don't have time for right now. But in short, it's those places we've already named. It's those conflicts at work. It's illness and people getting older and death. It's those hard moments in parenting. It's those hard moments in relationships. It's those hard moments inside ourselves that we don't want to admit out loud. Those places where we're covered in muck. I don't know about you guys, but my translation reads, the valley of the shadow of this is the worst. And when we're in these valleys, we think, I'm in too deep. God can't possibly tread here. And some of us might have even been taught that God is ashamed of us when we're in these valleys. And we feel like we hear God say, when is she going to learn? I wish she would figure out how to stop doing this. Really? You've gotten yourself into this again? Or maybe we imagine that God is way over on that mountainside of gorgeous pastures and quiet waters, and we think that that's the only place where God is. And we think that's the thing that we have to strive for. If only we were good enough, we could make it to the pasture. And so we imagine God on this mountaintop steeped in richness and goodness, and when he hears us or sees us, then he calls out, you're doing great! Keep it up! Life on the vine, the God we serve doesn't watch us from a mountaintop. Amen. He came down. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld the glory of the Father full of grace and truth. Our God dwells in the high and holy place, and he dwells with the lowly in spirit. When we're in this muck, Jesus tugs on our shirt sleeves and whispers, hey, I'm right here. I'm steady and sure, and nothing can take you away from me. Our God knows all the terrain because he's walked it. He's familiar with the muck, because he's waded through it. And we will fear no evil of principalities and powers because God is with us. His rod of kingship and his staff of Sabbath and justice comfort us. And God doesn't respond to our cries out of anger or exasperation, but with grace and truth and compassion. Why did you think you were alone? Look, I'm right here with you. I see you, and I'm here with you in the muck. Nothing is too big for me. And Jesus can step into the muck with us not because he's a nice guy, but because he has conquered sin through his death and resurrection. The God of true comfort is also our fierce defender, and we have nothing to fear. God lives in green pastures and can dwell in deep darkness. And the good news is that he can dwell in both of these places, his hand guiding us every step of the way, but he doesn't abandon us in the darkness. And God isn't tapping his foot or exasperated or angry that we're there. Rather, he meets us like the brush of a familiar hand that we can reach toward within the darkness. So I want us to try an experiment, because we all know that I am full of experiments. And I really don't know how this is going to go. So if you are so inclined, I'd like for you to imagine the muck of your life as the darkness in this canvas. When we see this, then we remember that our God is the antithesis of darkness. Our God is the light that pushes back the darkness in Genesis 1. Our God is the fire that's in the burning bush that Moses stumbles upon, the bush that's burning, yet unconsumed. Our God is the pillar of fire by night that guides the Israelites through the wilderness. What are some other stories from the Bible, some other verses that you know about God as our light in darkness? Yes, the light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. What else? Yeah, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Yeah, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yeah, God said, let there be light. And then there was light. He didn't even need a paintbrush. I'm the light of the world.
And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We won't even need a lamp in heaven, because the glory of the Lord will light everything. Yeah. Our God is the dawn of the new resurrection, and his glory illuminates the vastness of the heavens, where no corner will be left in cobweb shadow. And this Jesus is the one who steps into the muck with us. This Jesus is the one by whom we can say, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And when the light shines and nothing is left in darkness, that's a little bit scary, because we desperately long to hide those deep, dark places of us. Sorry, I'm going with the Holy Spirit here. But when Jesus steps into the muck with us, he says, I am right here. And I'm showing you this to make a new thing. I'm showing you these dark places not because I'm angry with you, not because I'm punishing you, but because I care for you and I want to grow a new thing in you. And let me just reiterate that nothing is too dark for our God to forgive. He longs to dust out those dark corners of our souls, not to punish us, but to create new life in the darkness. That's amazing.
Yes.
And because God is with us and steps into the muck with us, he gives us a concrete example of what his character looks like. He sets up a banquet table. And we can sometimes assume that the enemies that are talked about in Psalm 23 are people, but our real enemies are the principalities and powers of this world. And because God stepped into the muck with us and gave us his son, then God can set up these tables as an act of defiance towards these principalities and powers. The battle's already over. The Spirit is moving forward, illuminating our paths and defending his people and bestowing authority on his children. And we gather and celebrate around such a table every week. This table is a table of defiance and rebellion. This is a table where our gracious host fiercely protects us and relentlessly pursues us. This table is a sign of our already, our now, and our not yet, where we are and will dwell with our gracious host forever. A table whose very existence says darkness doesn't win because Jesus stepped into the muck with us. And so I'm learning that Jesus is with me, even when I don't feel like he is. I'm learning that when I'm honest about where I am, even if it seems like way too far for Jesus to reach, that's usually when Jesus taps me on the shoulder. Hey. I'm learning that the God of all power is the one who protects me, and I have nothing to fear. So I have a few phrases today for how we might respond. So one of them, Jesus be with me in the muck of whatever it might be. And if somebody is brought to your mind today, then you could say, Jesus be with this person or this situation in the muck. And I feel like I really need to reiterate today that this is a safe place, and we don't have to just pray the right answers. We can pray the hard things aloud, and sometimes naming those things aloud, even if it isn't in the circle, gives them that much less power over us. The one who steps into the muck can handle it, because he's seen it all. So let's pray.